May be seated. This morning, as we prepare to spend time together in God's Word, I encourage you to keep your worship bulletin handy. And if you would, go ahead and turn to the back inside portion. There you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes. If you're in need of something to write with today, I encourage you to raise your hand and one of our ushers will be glad to get something to you. Also there you'll find some sermon reflections that I hope and pray will help support the message that God will ultimately share with you and me today, that He desires for us to take and to live and to apply outside this place in this hour to those relationships He's entrusted to you and me this week. So in the book of 1 John, in the New Testament, the gospel writer, one of these hand-chosen Christ followers, shares this with us in chapter 3, verse 18. And let me share this with you this morning. He writes this: "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." So I thought about that this week. I landed on the question of what does love over words look like? How would you answer that question? If someone came up to you on the street this week and said, as a follower of Jesus Christ, what does love over words look like? So in other words, I've heard people talk the talk, and I've heard people practice their practicing. But what does love over words look like? What does that look like for you? Years ago, one of these happened to Grace, we'll say, Grace, our family farm back in rural Nebraska. Maybe you've had an experience with this as well. One of these whirling, swirling funnels of air known as a tornado. Back in the mid-90s, my family and I were at home doing our farm thing, and all of a sudden the sky turned a really, really ugly color, and maybe you've seen that color too. The wind started to pick up, the trees started to go this way and this way, some of the shingles started to rip off, tin was starting to come off the barns of the roof and so forth. The cow wasn't flying by yet, but there was stuff in the air, we'll say. My sister was at a softball game in Columbus, Nebraska, about 11 miles away, and she wasn't home yet. At that point in time, it was a question of who was going to get home first, my sister Sarah or the funnel. Moments before the funnel hit our house, my sister made it home. We were on our way down the basement, and all of a sudden we heard this noise sound like a freight train. And if you heard this before, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe you've seen this on TV. It hit. And when it hit hard. We were on our way back up the stairs, and looking out the kitchen window, we started to see all this pink, like cotton candy, like a big cotton candy machine just kind of blew up and threw everywhere. Well, it certainly wasn't Willy Wonka, and it certainly wasn't cotton candy. It was a tornado, and it was insulation from our pig barns just up the hill where about 1,500 animals were, and it was a question of, well, how much is left? So we made the trip up there. But in the process, so did our neighbors. And in no time at all, members of our congregation did just as members of this congregation do. They showed up. And for the next several hours, next several days, we got a really good glimpse of what love over words looks like. You see, it was one thing for us to meet in worship once a week like we do now. It was one thing to talk about the love of Christ, but it was another thing to see it in action. And I assure you, on that day, as we worked with our pastor and members of our congregation and members of our community, I guarantee you, I saw love over words. And you know something? So did our neighbors. Not long after that, and isn't this kind of how life happens? Sometimes some of these seasons are kind of linked together, one after the other. Just when you thought the storm was past, something else comes up. Maybe that's been your week. Not long after that, a member of our congregation was diagnosed with a really, really tough form of cancer. Knocked him down. Knocked him down hard. And wouldn't you know, it comes in one of these seasons of life where you don't have the luxury of just kicking your feet up in the lazy boy and watching TV and all those DVR'd programs. Wouldn't you know, it happened during this season of life. And what season is this? Yeah, it's harvest. How many of you have been part of a harvest before? Yeah. Nothing to do, right? So much free time and time on your hands. You're wondering, man, what am I going to do with my time today? It was harvest. And if you've been part of harvest, you know that is not the time when you throttle back. But if anything, you throttle up and you say, see ya. It's all your sleep, right? This member of our congregation, this member of our community who was diagnosed with this cancer had all of these crops to harvest. And in addition, if that wasn't enough, he was also a livestock farmer. So there had to be someone there to take care of the cows, take care of the pigs, and take care of everything else that comes along with that. And for him and for the members of our church and the members of our community, it wasn't so much a question of, well, who's going to do something, but it was just a question of, well, when can we show up? See, what happened was just this, love over words. It was one thing to talk about it, just like it is here. It's one thing to talk about it here, and it's easy to talk about it here, isn't it? To know the handshake, to know the lingo, and then to leave it here. That's the easy thing to do. That's the comfortable cross, right? But Jesus challenges you and me to a different kind of level of living. To choose love over words. And that's what happened with the tornado situation. And that's what happened with this man and his family. Knocked down by a really, really tough form of cancer. Who saw what it was like to have love over words when members of his church came over and took care of the crops. I can't put into words what it meant to him, but I have a feeling that when he saw all those tractors and all those grain wagons and all those combines line up to go to his field, when he knew full well all those farmers had all their other stuff to do, their crops, their livestock to tend to, I can't help but wonder what was going through his heart and his mind when he looked out the window and saw his neighbors harvesting his crops, taking care of his animals. I can't help but wonder in that moment how much this reality struck home for him. Love over words. John picks up on this for us, and we heard part of this in our second reading today from the book of 1 John, the first and second chapter. Let me share a portion of this with you. He picks this up for us. And notice what he highlights, too, that accompanies this love over words. If you're wondering what drives someone to choose love over words, look here. If you've been hit hard during the week and you don't have the strength to have love over words, come back here. If you know someone who's talking a lot of the talk but's not walking the walk or living the life, invite them to take a journey back here to this passage. Would you read this with me together today? Would you read this with me today? Let's pick it up at verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. John's talking about something you don't find anywhere else. You don't go to a store and buy it. You don't pick up the latest bestseller and suddenly your life is transformed into something else. John's talking about a relationship that transforms your life and my life. A relationship that doesn't just stay in a box for 1 hour a week, but goes with you. And it informs your conversations. It changes your attitude. It changes your outlook no matter what the season is, no matter what your tornado's been, no matter what your harvest season might look like. And he notes it even more profoundly in chapter 1, verse 1. Let me share this with you. John says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. And what is that? It's Jesus. I don't know if you've done this before, but I'd encourage you to do this today. To go home and open up your Bible and to look at the Gospel of John chapter 1. This morning we took time to do this in our adult Bible class, and you're always invited to be a part of that conversation so we can learn and grow together. But John highlights this for us. the thing that transforms your life and my life, your conversations and mine, your outlook and mine, your attitude and mine, your love over words and mine, is this Jesus, whose death we recalled recently, but whose resurrection, well, that's the reality we now live in. I wonder what this looks like for you. What does love over words look like in your life? If someone was to come up to you like this, I don't know, let's get really uncomfortable now. Here we go. If someone came up to you this week at work or at school and said, what does love over words look like in your life? What would you say? Why is it that you do what you do? Why is it that you think what you think? Why is it you act the way you act? What is it that motivates you? What is it that keeps you coming back to this place called Praise Lutheran Church? What is it that drives you to give up your time for something like an open mic night or an Easter extravaganza? What is it that drives you and keeps bringing you back to this place? What is it that moves you to actually follow up your words with your actions? What would you say? I'm excited for you because the reality is just this. God has put people in your life that I don't have access to. As much as I'd love to replicate myself and be all over the place, all over the time, well, maybe that wouldn't be so good. There are people that God has intentionally put in your life so somebody specific ministers to them. And do you know who that someone is? You saw them in the mirror this morning. And I hope it was your face. If not, boy, we got a different conversation to talk about. It's you. It's you. God puts his people in the right place at the right time so the world experiences Christian love over worldly words. You've probably heard this a number of times in life, just like I have. Well, I hope it works out. God's peace. Well, let me know later. That's not how Jesus deals with us. And what we talked about last week is what we talk about today and we talk about every day. Jesus is this God who comes to us, our one true God, who comes to us and says, come with me. Walk with me. Learn what love over words is all about. Talking to a friend not long ago, and he shares this story, and I've affectionately referred to it. Don't tell him. You don't know him, so I guess it's okay. But I call it the car incident. Years ago, when he was in undergrad, he and some of his friends decided to go to one of these getaway places in Tennessee. He talks about how he was entrusted with parking the rental car in a tight and narrow spot. So he dropped off all his friends, and they kind of started up a trail without him. And then he's starting to position the big car into the little space. And this is what happened. A car scrape or a car scuff. Not so much on his rental car, but on the other person's car. And he said he sat there for the longest time, sweating over this and pouring over this and wrestling and just agonizing over, what do I do? You know, did anybody see? There's nobody around. That person's not in their car. My friends are up the trail. I'm all by myself. Boy, it would be so easy just to back out, go into another spot, and then walk away. But he describes how for him as a Christ follower, he couldn't help but think back to this passage that we discussed this morning that really focuses us on what it means to have love over words. And he wrestled with this passage as well, which is part of our second reading today, verses 6, 8, and 10 of 1 John 1. Let me share this with you once again. John says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, Christ, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Wouldn't you know, the group of friends he was with were other Christians. Wouldn't you know that time and time again, this was a situation that would be said before him, just like you and me in a number of different places, but maybe it's not the car, maybe it's not the scrape, but maybe it's something else. Where we have the opportunity to practice love over words, to do the right thing, the thing that God is calling us to do. But there's such a big part of us that pushes back against that and wants to do something else. Or maybe there's a part of us that refuses to do what we know is right, that God is calling us to do. But maybe we opt for comfortable Christianity, where it's so easy just to let the words fly, but maybe not so much to love. So this is what my friend did. He took time to write a little note, said, "Hey, it's me," put his name down, his full name, his true name, on his driver's license, put down his contact information, and he said in his own words, "I was the one that scuffed your car. It was an accident. I was in a hurry. I apologize. I'll do what I have to do to make it right." And he gave him my phone number. No, just kidding. No, he put down his phone number. And this is the cool thing. The gentleman, the owner of the car that was scuffed, called him back. How many of you think that conversation went thumbs up or thumbs down? What do you think? Yeah. This is what he said when he called my friend. He said, "You owe me nothing." He said, "I didn't know people today would still do what you did. Own up to their mistake and promise to make it right." Love over words. And this is the next cool thing he said to my friend. He said, "My kids heard about this, and he said, we've been talking about it ever since." What would make that person who hit your car and could have drove away scot-free, what would make them choose to act the way they did? And my friend, in his own way, said just this: love over words. Jesus Christ. See, my friend couldn't help but feel tethered to this question. And I pray this is the question that we wrestle with for the rest of our lives as Christ followers. What does love over words look like in this situation? Tomorrow, when you go back to work and you're faced with that really difficult person or situation or conversation you know is coming, what will love over words look like? Tomorrow, when you go back to school and you got someone who's up in your business, up in your face, I wonder for you, what will love over words look like? When our congregation here is challenged with things, I wonder what love over words will look like when you go home today and you or your spouse or your son or daughter, or your mom or dad don't see eye to eye. I wonder for you what love over words will look like. I pray it looks like Jesus. I pray it sounds like Jesus. Here I praise. This is what love over words has been looking like the last year and a half. It looks like an Easter extravaganza on a Saturday morning where over 200 members of our community gather in this place and they receive more than chocolate and eggs. They see a glimpse of who Jesus Christ is. Love over words. It looks like an open mic night where it's not just open mic night for open mic night's sake, but it's an opportunity to establish a stepping stone moment for the cultivation of a relationship where people can see and hear Jesus Christ. Love over words. It looks like the community clubhouse that meets twice a month, the first and third Tuesday, down the road on Coldwater Road at Sunrise Cafe, where members of this congregation go off-site to be out in our community to connect with people so they see and hear Jesus. Love over words. It looks like last year's Screen on the Green ministry that's coming back this year as well, an outdoor dinner and movie night where members of our congregation, our little Praisers daycare, and members of our community are invited to come back on campus to connect with us. And when they connect with us, do you know what they get? They get love over words. This week, what will love over words look like for you, where God is calling you to serve? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize that the easy thing for us to do is just to talk the talk. In fact, we love to talk the talk because it's easy and it doesn't cost us anything. But as we think about what fellowship with each other and fellowship with you, what that looks like, we recognize that it means going out to the people that you've already put into our lives so we can practice love over words. Today, Father, we pray that you would help us to recall all those relationships, those conversations, those moments that you've entrusted to our care. And we pray, Lord, work through us so we have love over words. We ask, Lord, that you'd make us uncomfortable today. We ask, Lord, that you would prevent us from falling into the trap of comfortable Christianity. That's not what this world needs, not anymore. So, Father, we pray, move us. And we pray, raise up more people to do the work you're calling us to do. Love over words. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time